Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the blessed opportunity you've given us once again to gather together and to get into your word. And help us now as we continue our series on the Bible study from A to Z. So we'll get into the word encouragement once again. We thank you as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Continuing our Bible study from A to Z in the word encouragement, let's turn to John chapter 14, which is some awesome, maybe the most awesome, of the comforting words, the encouragement that we can have that we find here in John chapter 14. Let me get right into it. Verse 1 reads, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." Of course, these are the words of Jesus Christ, proclaiming that if you believe in God, believe also in Jesus Christ, and not to be worried, not to be troubled, not to be overly concerned. We've got to know that there's a lot of things, well, we do know that there's a lot of things out there that can get us down and can cause us to be discouraged and can cause us to be troubled. And it seems to be on the increase. But don't be troubled. The Lord is telling us right here, believe in Him by living in Jesus Christ, by living in God. We can have comfort. We can have encouragement. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And that sure is encouraging. For that offer, for that proclamation that He has gone away and is coming back to get us that believe and trust in Him and receive us to Him, to be with Him for eternity. And wherever the one who spoke everything into existence chooses to be is going to be way more than what we could ever imagine in beauty and in joyfulness. So we have that to look forward to as born-again Christians. So when you have a problem, when you have a concern, when you have a trouble, get your eyes off of that, get your mind off of those problems, and get your mind on Jesus Christ, and get your thoughts about what you're going to be looking forward to for eternity with the Lord. Read 3 again. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Now you got a lot of skepticals out there, skeptics you might say, that say, well, what happened? Why hasn't he already done this? Because this was written some 2,000 years ago, and he hadn't come back yet. Sure is taking him a long time to build whatever he's gone to build. Well, turn to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. And it clearly says here, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise. What's that promise? To come back and get us. To take us to be up with Him. To be wherever He's going to be for eternity. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. That means patient with us. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's holding out for more to turn to Him before He closes that door, before the great judgments. That's why He's waiting. He's waiting for more to come to Him, to be able to be with Him for eternity. He doesn't want to just suddenly come and wipe everybody out that doesn't trust in Him, and throw them all in a lake of fire. He's giving them time. Giving them time to make up their mind. Giving them time to make the decision. Giving them time to come to Him. Grow in the family. And that is very encouraging. So you know yourself, there are people out there that you've been working with. You know there's people out there that aren't trusting in Jesus Christ. The Lord's patiently waiting for some of those to come to Him before He starts the judgments. Let's get back into John chapter 14 again, verse 4, where it reads, "And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." He's telling the disciples here that you know where I'm going, and you know how to get there. By this time, they should have. But note the response from Thomas. Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, And how can we know the way? And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him, and ye have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Now don't be too hard on Philip and Thomas and the others, because at this time they had not yet received the indwelling Spirit of the Holy Ghost. They did not have the enlightenment or the awareness or the revelation of who Jesus Christ truly is, and did not really understand his words yet, because they had not been indwelt with the Holy Ghost. Even being right there in the presence of God in the flesh and still not fully aware of what was happening. And we got to know and understand that when we trust in Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, the Holy Ghost comes into us and gives us that ability to be able to recognize the Lord and know the Lord personally. As it continues here, it reads, Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. That is some words of encouragement that some people don't believe. That's some words, a statement about asking and you'll receive, that a lot of people haven't experienced. And I dare say most everybody has had a situation in their lives that they've asked for something from God and they didn't get it. Why not? It says here, if you ask, you're going to receive it. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. That's the explanation. Let's look at that a little closer. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, the first qualifier there, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye ask anything in my name, I will do it. So you have to ask in the name of Jesus Christ. And that's more than just saying the word Jesus Christ or the words Jesus Christ. In his name means to bring glory to him and to the Son. If you're asking anything, it has to be something that is under the qualification of the will of the Lord, and that is going to bring honor and glory to the Lord and be a part of his will, and that what he gives you is going to be utilized for the furtherment of the kingdom and to draw people in to be part of the kingdom and to bring honor and glory to the Lord over and over. It's that basic idea and concept that if you're going to ask for anything for yourself, for your own selfish gain, don't think you're going to get it. Because you're probably not. Unless he's going to let you have it just so he's going to give you a lesson, because he's going to give you what you need in order to do the task that he has for you to do. When you ask for it, he'll give it to you. You use it, he multiplies it, he gives you even more. He pours so much upon us by grace anyway. He gives us so much. The very breath that is within us is a gift from God. And if we ask for more, if we ask for more wealth, if we ask for more health, if we ask for more wisdom, faith, understanding, boldness, whatever, We ask that in the will of the Lord, in the name of the Lord, to bring honor and glory to the Lord, then we're going to get it. When we put it to work and use it, He gives it to us. We then get it multiplied even more, and He gives us more and more and more. But the qualifier is it has to be in the will of the Lord for the achievement of what the Lord wants to achieve, to bring you into a better place with the world and with Jesus Christ and the Father. Those are the keys. So it isn't just you can sit here and rub a little lamp and make a wish on a genie and poof, there it appears. That's not what it's about. You got to understand, when you approach the Lord, you approach the Lord sincerely and you're asking for something in the will of the Lord, then you're going to get it. In order to achieve the things the Lord wants you to achieve in the name of the Lord, to bring honor and glory to the Lord. Let's read this again. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Note, right back here, it's talking about the works. What were the works that the Lord was doing? Spreading the gospel. Helping people come to know and understand the Lord as their Savior. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, what was Jesus Christ achieving? He was achieving the accomplishment that the Lord, Heavenly Father, had sent him to do, and that was to be our pathway to a relationship with God the Father by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So when we're doing that, we're doing things in the name of Jesus Christ. When we do a part of that, when we share what He has done, then we are doing the will of the Lord and doing things in His name. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Not that you can have all your earthly and worldly desires fulfilled and achieved because all you got to do is ask and I'll give it to you, whatever it is. Nope. That's not what he's talking about. So you got to qualify that. If you ask him for something that is going to bring honor and glory to the Lord, are you asking something that's going to expand the kingdom? Are you asking something that's going to draw you closer to the Lord? Are you asking for something that's going to bring attention to Jesus Christ? Then you're asking for the right things. That's the key. You must ask for that. Verse 14. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. You ask on Jesus Christ to do something in the right manner, in the right way, with the right intention, he's going to do it. That's the key. Always consider that. And it's always got to be in the will of the Lord. Because he gave us that awesome example prayer in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. After this manner, therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. It isn't my will be done. No, it's thy will be done. So you stay in the will of the Lord. That's what he's referring to. That's what he's emphasizing. The will of the Father. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You got to do it right. You got to do it for the right intention. You got to do it for the right achievement. What do you want to achieve by your request? Is it to bring honor and glory, as it says here, that the Father may be glorified in the Son? If that's your goal, if that's your desire, then you're asking the right things. And that's the big difference. All right, back over in John chapter 14, verse 15. Very awesome, encouraging words here of what we have available to us when we trust in Jesus Christ, when we are indwelt with the Holy Ghost. As he says here, if ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Another comforter that's going to abide with us forever. Not just temporarily, not just come upon us every once in a while, like it was in Old Testament times, but forever, indwelling us. He's speaking of the Holy Ghost here. Because the Comforter is another name for the Holy Ghost. If ye love me, keep my commandments, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of Truth. Another name for the Holy Ghost. Spirit of Truth. And that is so encouraging to know that within us is the Spirit of Truth, us that have just trusted in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. The truth comes into us. If we listen to that, if we tap into that, if we humble ourselves and accept that, not be puffed up with pride and arrogance thinking, well, we have all this amazing understanding within ourselves. No, we don't. We have the opportunity to be indwelt with the Spirit of Truth, lean on that, not on our own arrogance, not on our own understanding, but on the Lord's. Even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And that is awesome there, to know that we that have trusted in the Lord are indwelt with the third part of the Holy Trinity and lives within us, God actually living within us in the form of the Holy Ghost, and given us an opportunity to understand what is the truth. So when you hear stuff out there, the Holy Ghost can help you know and understand that that is right or that is wrong. That is what we have available. So when you hear the false teachers, you'll know it. You'll recognize it. When you see the false things out there that the devil is putting out there, you'll know it. The counterfeits, you'll know it. When you are in tuned, when you are prayed up, when you're in a good relationship with the Lord, that will all come forward. He's always with you, even when you're messing up, even when you're disobedient. He doesn't leave you. He's still there. You might have him tied up, bound, and gagged, and thrown in the back seat of your car, and you're going down the road driving it yourself. That may be your situation, but he's still there. Untie him, ungag him, unbound him, and let him come forward. Let him take the driver's seat. You get in the back seat and hang on for the ride, because it's an awesome ride when you do that. Even a Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive. The world cannot receive him, doesn't know him. They don't know the truth. They're blinded to the truth. They resist the truth. They don't want to see the truth. They don't want to hear the truth. They love the lies. They love the fables. Even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And that's awesome to know that he never leaves us. He's always with us. He'll never forsake us. Now here he's messaged directly to the disciples at that time in verse 19. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. And that is awesome, to know that we have that connection, that the Lord is within us and we are in the Lord. That unity, that reconciliation provided to us by the finished work of Jesus Christ. Verse 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him, reveal myself to him. That's what he's talking about here. That revelation, that understanding, that knowledge of the existence and the presence of Jesus Christ right within you. You'll know that. And the commandments that he's talking about, the two that he emphasized mostly, that cover all of them, that he emphasized back over in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Meaning that those are the two to focus on. Those are the two to emphasize. If you love God with all your existence, you're going to have that constant communication with the Holy Ghost, and He's going to tell you constantly what you need to do, not need to do, what you need to stay away from, and what's permitted, what's not permitted, what brings honor and glory to the Lord, what brings pleasure to the Lord, and what doesn't. And that's the key. When we have that relationship going, when we love Him completely, He gives us that understanding. And then when we love others as ourselves, when we have that sincere concern for someone else's well-being, then you have a desire to share what the Lord has given you, the understanding and wisdom, the understanding of the opportunity to be able to be a part of the family, to have that indwelling spirit in them. You have a compassion for others then. You have a desire to share what the Lord has given you. I know it's difficult these times to get out there and spread the gospel. I know it's difficult to go door to door and hand out tracts or to meet someone and start up a conversation. People are afraid of everybody. They're shunning everyone, wanting to stay away from people. But there are opportunities out there. Take those opportunities. The Lord will give us opportunities and give us a chance to be able to continue to spread the gospel. There's a lot of pathways we can utilize these days. Use them to the fullest. And share the gospel. Share your experience. Witness. Testify. Let other folks know what the Lord has done for you and how comforting it is to know and understand Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. And encourage others. All right, let's continue in John chapter 14 and verse 22, where it reads, "Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world?" You see, how are you going to reveal yourself to us that are part of your family and not to the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. You heed the word of the Lord, and he indwells you, he stays with you, and that is the manifestation, the comfort of knowing that he is right there with you. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." And that's awesome there, that when we are indwelt with the Holy Ghost, He gives us an understanding of His words. Here He was directly talking to the disciples, letting them know that all these many things that I've been telling you, that right now you cannot comprehend, you cannot understand, when you're indwelt with the Holy Ghost, after the Lord ascends up to the Father, and the Holy Ghost comes and indwells them, then they will have the understanding, then they will have the remembrance. And that is encouraging to know that they have been given that, so that when we read the words that were recorded for us to go back and study, they are accurate and true because they were given to them by the Holy Ghost, given to them by an understanding and a remembrance of what they went through in order to write it down for us to study. "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." That is very encouraging. Verse 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Verse 27 is very encouraging. The peace that passeth all understanding that can come upon us that truly trust in the Lord. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it comes to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Referring back there to how the Holy Ghost is going to give them a full understanding and revelation of what has happened. It reads, hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. Letting him know what he's fixing to go through. Letting him know that there is going to be a chance to be able to remember everything that he taught them. And then they recorded it. They kept busy. They were out there. They were spreading the gospel. They were expanding the kingdom. And it ripple effect all through these ages of how we still have access to the words that the Lord had told them. How it's been preserved for us to be able to study. That is very encouraging to know that it is all by the power of the Holy Ghost. And it is accurate and true, because the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of truth. Trust in the Lord. Love Him with all your existence. Love others as yourself. And you'll have that manifestation of the Lord in you, and turn around and share it with others. Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you oh so much for the blessed opportunity you've given us to be able to study a little bit more of these encouraging words. Help us now to have the courage to go out and share them with others. We thank you oh so much as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Thank y'all.